So I'm excited to have you guys here today, and I'm excited especially because today is the day that the Lord has made. And so I would like for us all to stand and be glad in it and get ready just to put our worship on. I know that Easter is sometimes a kind of a taboo word in the church because it's, you know, pagan. But one thing that I found is that it comes from a German word for east and an even older word in Latin meaning dawn. Because in the spring, dawn marks the beginning of days that will outlast the nights, and those dawns erupt in the east. And I love that because our Lord came, and when he died on the cross, he took out darkness. He took out all of its power. And so today, as we're worshiping, I just want us to kind of get in that mindset and just be excited about the things that he did while he was up there. He never once forsook us. He had every single one of us in mind. Even in our nastiest moments, when we were making our worst mistakes, he died even still. And so just keep that in mind, and just kind of get out of your comfort today, and be willing to just kind of get into the funness of the Lord and just be in that thankful heart, and maybe worship in a way that you wouldn't normally do, just with that expectancy of what he's going to do today. Amen.
saved our hearts. The perfect Jesus.
verse in the song says, now from the lips of the forgiven, hear an anthem arise. Every person here is a child of God, and you have been forgiven. And this is why we sing today, because this is the day that he set aside to rise from the dead. He sacrificed himself for us to forgive us of every sin, past, now, and future. So sing with your heart. Just let your heart sing this anthem for the Lord who died for your sins and rose today.
Son of God was laid in darkness.
sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome.
Thank you, Jesus. I just want you to put your hands out in front of you like you're receiving a gift. And close your eyes. Don't worry about the person on your left or your right. I just feel like Jesus wants to give his children gifts today. Just we thank you. Thank you that we get to celebrate you. We don't need one specific day to recognize what you did on the cross. Every day we get to walk in our freedom. We get to walk in the freedom that you gave us when you took what we deserved and we got what you deserved. We get to walk in power. We get to walk victorious. Like today, Jesus is giving his children freedom today. People that have been in bondage over addiction. People that have been in bondage over thinking wrong. Like today, Jesus is healing. Jesus is healing sleep conditions. That's you, just receive it. It's between you and the Lord. Jesus is going to give you the best night of sleep from here on out. You need a healing in your body right now, just receive it. You have back pain, pain in your ankles, neck pain right now. I just want you to receive it. I want you to test it out. If there's something that you maybe couldn't do before you walked into service, just test it out. We are in anticipation of what you do, Jesus. We're not just here to sing songs. We're not just here to hear a word. God, we're here for you.
Finished. The
just want to just kind of invite you guys to come up front right now and just step out of your comfort zone. Because Jesus, like, I don't know if you're hearing the words to the song, but my spirit is just roaring right now. God came to the cross and he took away death's grip. We are alive and well and able to be in his presence without sacrifices being made, without a priest to stand before us and tell us if we're right or not. Like, we get to come into his presence without hesitance. And so I just invite you to come up front. I know it's so uncomfortable, but just do something a little different and shake off the uncomfortable and just shake off what holds us back right now and just begin to be in his presence and just be so celebratory because he's alive, you guys. He defeated death. Death doesn't get to take us down anymore. In Jesus' name, let's sing that again.
That there is has for us. Every gift of peace, every gift of joy, every gift of salvation, it is open to us, not just today, every day, every minute of every day, because He is our living hope, and He pours that out for all of us to just reach out and take it.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Oh, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Sing it out.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
So as we've been singing this last bit, I've been hearing the words, hearing the heart, and also sensing like a struggling in our being. And I feel like the Lord showed me that over the last year, what the enemy has done through the COVID situation is got us to feel confined and like almost like we can't move, like we have bound, like they said, like we have chains on us, even though we don't. Even though we may feel the presence of the Lord, feel His joy, feel all of those things, there just seems to be like a dynamic of freedom that is, I don't want to say lost, but maybe it's just not exhibited and appropriated enough. So we haven't done this for a while, but I'd like to have us do like just a physical thing. You know, we do things by faith. You know, we don't believe in the things that we see. We believe in the things that we don't see. But sometimes we use the things that we see to exhibit faith in the things that we don't see. And so why don't we just stand for a moment? And we're going to go through a physical activity here. I'm going to go ahead and put my headset on, Jess. So what I want you to do is with me, says there was a song we used to sing that was, I'm leaving my sorrows, leaving my pain. I'm trying to remember exactly. Trading my sorrows, trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yeah. And, you know, God's joy is an experience, not like we just feel like bubbly and happy all the time. We've learned that it's actually a contentment in our heart. But there is also a time when we experience physical joy. Like David, when he was dancing before the Lord with all of his might, when the tent, when the ark was coming back into the city, because it had been in captivity for so long that it was coming back, and he was just dancing with all his might, and he was happy and exuberant in that. So I'm not asking you to jump up. All I want you to do is physically with me. We're going to shake off these hands. We're going to shake them off and say, Lord, we're free in you. I'm free. I'm free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I'm free. I'm free. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. Yes, I'm free. I'm free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Now just shake it off. Shake it off. Just receive the wave of the Lord coming through here right now.
I'm free. I'm free.
Yes.
I'm free, I'm free, I'm free to shout in. I'm free to shout your name. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free to shout your name. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free to shout your name.
Above every other name, we exalt your name in this place, Lord. Lord, you said in your word, if you would be lifted up, you would draw all men unto yourself. And Lord, you were lifted up on that fateful day, Lord, when you took our sins upon yourself, Lord. When you took our sicknesses upon yourself, Lord. When you took our broken hearts upon yourself, Lord. And now, Lord, we can be drawn to God. We can be drawn to the King of Kings, Lord, and we allow our hearts to be drawn today. And Lord, anything that's weighted us down, anything heavy, anything that the enemy's put on us, Lord, because of these last 11, 12 months, Lord, we just reject it and we rebuke it in Jesus' name. And we say we're free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Lord, we just receive the freedom of God. It's for freedom's sake, Lord, that you set us free. Not to be bound, Lord. It's for freedom's sake. We just receive that now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I encourage you, when you are at home and you start experiencing that heaviness, just do it again. Just shake it off. Shake it off. Just by physically saying, you know what, I don't receive that. Maybe you're just burdened because of work. Just start, you know, shaking off. And I'll say, what are you doing? Well, I'm just shaking off this stuff that's hanging on me. I say, what are you talking about? Well, you need to get in Christ, and you know what I mean. Amen? Thank you, team. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Well, this is Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. You know, I don't think God gets tripped up in heaven if we say Easter. Happy Easter to someone. He knows the heart. He knows the intention behind it.
It's so funny that you said that song because I was singing it just before church.
Oh, you were?
I was.
Well, there you go. I must have been picking it up. Although I didn't pick up all the right words, so.
That's okay. You picked up enough.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yes. What age? If they feel young enough, they can go?
Well, that will get half the crowd out here, so. Oh. What's so funny?
Half the crowd, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Feel young enough. I'm going. So, any kids?
Eric and Nancy are taking the kids out for a special time.
Yep. Praise the Lord.
So, if you feel like you're a kid, you can go. Want to say a special thank you to Myla and Matt for the gorgeous flowers out front and the planters and the gorgeous flowers that they arranged for the church. Aren't they beautiful? Thank you so much, you guys. You bless us so much.
Yeah, we're really blessed. And thankful. We're thankful for the family that we have here, the people who are committed to not only the Lord, but committed to our house and our faith family and the building. This isn't the actual church. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. Right. But this is a church building where we gather. And we had a work day, and Myla and Matt went on the extended work days. And Matt was here yesterday with me, and we did some stuff on the parsonage roof. Thank you, Matt, for that. And
oh, yeah, I forgot that. Sorry.
Yeah, praise the Lord. No, I'm just thankful that that I had help, because he told me that you're not even supposed to be up there by yourself, and I've done
Thank
that a
you
few
very
times.
Much. Yes. That was my claim as well. Yeah.
So I just want to let everyone know that if you want to give, you can give either up here in the front, or you can give in the back, or you can give also online at One Life Family Worship or olfw.net, which is kind of a little easier to put in than onelifefamilyworship.org, and you can go to a PayPal account. Also, we've been praying for the government. And I'm going to just pray right now. Father, we pray, Lord, for all of our leaders, Lord, as you've commanded us in the scripture. And we pray, Lord, that you would just be with the Biden administration, Lord, and the Congress, Lord, and the Senate. Father, we pray that you would just allow your hand to be upon those different institutions of our government, Lord, and allow their hearts to be open to hear your truths. Lord, we know that when a nation is ruled godly, Lord, the people rejoice, Lord. But when it's ruled by the wicked, Lord, they're in sorrow. So, Lord, we pray right now that our government would turn towards you, and that they would experience, Lord, your goodness and your love in their lives. We pray a blessing upon them now in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Do you want to pray for Yakima?
Yeah. And, Father, we do lift the county of Yakima. As widespread as that is, God, you know every single person that's in its midst. You know every heart that's represented. God,
yes,
Lord. You know everyone that loves you, and you know everyone that is confused in today's world with cares of this world, with cruelty of life. And so, Father, we pray for everyone, Father, that each one would come to the saving grace, saving knowledge, grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God, they would call on you, call on your name, God. Father, we pray for this county, for the leaders in it, for all of the workers that help the day-to-day that we don't even think about, the garbage men, the mailmen, I mean, just so many people. And so we pray blessing on all of them, God. And Father, we pray that we would be a beacon on a hill, that they would be able to see you through us, Jesus. Father, that you would be glorified in this county, in the lives of the people that live here. And Father, we pray that blessing in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So we're going to talk about the resurrection today. And we're going to go ahead and read through Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 14. We'll go through those pretty quick. So go ahead, babe.
Ready? Mark 16, 1 through 14. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, for whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at a table. And he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen.
Good job. So in the verses 5 and 6, we see that they're entering the tomb and they saw a young man, and he was sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. Interesting hearing about a young man. You think of, an angel as, that must have been like a great assignment. You're going to be the one that's going to be sitting at the tomb telling people he has risen. Oh, wow.
Cool, man. Yeah.
He said, alarmed. He said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." And, the place where they laid him was empty. And the garments that he was wearing were collapsed because there was nothing, no body there to hold it. He was gone. And then he said to him, "Go tell the disciples and Peter," which is a whole story in itself. The idea that Peter was spoken of, because Peter was someone who denied him three times. And Peter probably needed that encouragement that Jesus was looking for him.
And it is an amazing, even in death and resurrection, when he's busy with really important things, he thinks of Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Just like he probably thought of us. I mean, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even though he has so much on him, he still thinks of us. We're worth being thought of. I love that.
Well, he never stops thinking about
never.
Us. We've gone over that before.
Right.
And then it says, and then they fled out of the tomb. And then when this is a description of a couple of different events. One's talked about in John. Another one is in Luke. And we hear that Mary Magdalene was the first to see him. In John, it says that Mary wanted to embrace the Lord. He says, don't embrace me yet. Don't cling to me. I haven't yet ascended to the Father. Mm-hmm. What he was going to do when he ascended to the Father, that's kind of a mystery, but we know that there's a description in Hebrews that he put his blood on the temple that is in heaven, right, on the mercy seat. So, and then we have it, the description of individuals who were walking on the road to Emmaus, and they were like the second ones to have their contact with Jesus. And they were walking along. They thought they were just talking to a stranger, you know, on the road. And they were talking about all the events that had happened, that, that Jesus had been crucified, and now that they said that he rose again, and they're like all like a little bit bewildered. And the stranger starts teaching them the whole principles of the prophets and showing them about Jesus and what had to happen to him. They still didn't get it, and it wasn't until they asked him to stay with them, because he was going to go on, and they were going to go to where they were going to be for the night. And he said, okay, I'll stay with you for a little bit. And he broke bread with them. When he broke bread, their eyes opened up, and they knew it was Jesus. And then they went back, and they were telling the disciples, and the disciples still didn't believe this. Why do you think the disciples didn't believe it?
Well, I have a question before that. Before we ask that question. Why did Mary recognize him and the disciples didn't? Why did Mary...
Well, she didn't recognize him at first. She thought he was the gardener. Yep.
And so that's my question, though.
And then when he said her name,
Mary,
and she said Rabboni, realized...
So is that because of the way he said her name she was able to see him?
Or the fact that he knew her name, or the fact the way he said it, you know. Or she went expecting. Yeah, it's hard to say.
Wow.
She was looking, where'd you lay him? She was thinking that he had gotten moved, you know.
Well, as I was studying this out, do you mind if I say a few things?
Go for it.
Okay, so has anybody ever wondered about sunrise services at other churches, why other churches do a sunrise Sunday morning service? Have you heard of that before, anybody? The reason they do that is sunrise, the time that they're talking about in verse 2, and very early on the first day of the week when the sun had risen. Well, it wasn't quite risen yet. It was still dawn, one of the versions says. And I don't know if it's Matthew or Luke. I'm not sure. But it says that it was still dawn, not yet. The sun had not yet risen. And that is why some churches celebrate a sunrise service, is to be more at the appropriate time. They tend to do that.
Not in that country, though. So
we're not in that country. But then I noticed, too, that he said Mary's name.
Yes.
But he also said Peter's name. But he didn't say anybody else's name. So I'm asking why.
Well, I mean, he said Mary's name because Mary was right there before him. You know, and she was the first to have seen Jesus, is the way that it's being described in the Gospel of John.
Right.
So she was the first. And so he said her name because he was communicating to her personally, I believe.
And how does she respond to him?
Rabboni is what she says. Teacher.
Okay.
She's saying
so
teacher.
That word Rabboni actually is a personal tense
for the
of
word
rabbi.
Teacher. Oh.
It is, she could have put my in front of it, my teacher, my master. I mean, it's very personal, you guys. We've taught all these last few years how personal God is, that he would name Mary, that he would name Peter. But when she acknowledged back to him, my master, my teacher, mine. It's not, she's not saying that he's not everybody else's, but this is my man. This is my guy right here. She made it very personal. And that's what Jesus is all about, is the very personal.
What he wants from us is personal. Yeah, amen. And if you, when I was asking that question, do you have another question?
I'm good now. For now.
We see that...
why did the disciples?
Yeah, well, the answer is right here. And when they were reclining, he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart.
Right.
And what do you think hardened their heart? Seeing their Lord crucified.
Crucifixion. Mm-hmm.
They were so focused on what they were seeing that they didn't hear him. You know, they just like when they were with him, they were so focused on all the miracles and everything, they weren't hearing him. They weren't hearing him say, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I mean, I don't know how many times he told them. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of evil people. And they're going to scourge me and whip me and crucify me. But then he said, but I'll raise again. And so they never caught that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we deal with this kind of stuff all the time in our own personal lives. We don't catch all the truths that Jesus is communicating to us, or even the Word is communicating to us. Yeah.
So is the saying, you hear me, but you're not listening, or you're listening, but you don't hear me? The second one? I mean, there comes a time when you're watching someone's lips move, but you're just waiting for them to get done so you can say what you want to say. I'm wondering if... Is that not true, though?
It is
so true. We're watching them. Their mouth is going up and down, but we're just waiting for the appropriate time when their mouth is going to close enough that we can pop in with what we want to say. And that's what those disciples were doing with the Lord.
Yeah.
He was saying, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to this and I'm going to that. And they were just watching his mouth because they were just waiting
for their opportunity.
But
who gets to sit on your right and the left, Lord?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're
more
Peter,
about,
like, oh, yeah,
yeah,
this isn't going to happen to you, Lord. We're not going to let anybody, anything happen to you. And Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. So obviously, you know, he put him in his place because he was letting him know that that was not the will of God. If we look at 1 Corinthians 15:3-8, this is a description of the individuals that saw Jesus after his resurrection. A lot of people say, well, there was no resurrection. You know, it didn't happen. But there were so many witnesses. As a matter of fact, it says here in verse, we'll read it all. Go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 15:3-8.
For I delivered to you as of the first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to
Peter. Cephas was another name for Peter.
Mm-hmm. Cephas. Then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep or are dead. Then he appeared to James, then to all of the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me.
So here we have Jesus appearing after his death to many. So if anybody says, oh, the resurrection isn't true, say, well, there were many witnesses. And then these witnesses who saw him, they believed it so much that they were willing to be eaten by lions. They were willing to die by being, you know, hung on crosses themselves, or they were tortured to death, or they were burnt at the stake. And testimony of when they were being burnt at the stake, singing hymn songs while their bodies were burning up.
Right.
So that this idea that Jesus, you know, is just a myth. That's a myth. he was a real person, and he really died, and he really rose from the dead. And his grave is empty. There's no place that we can go put flowers to commemorate his death, because he now lives in each one of us. Amen?
Buy yourself some flowers.
Buy yourself some flowers. Say, Lord, this is commemorating what you did for me.
Yeah.
So let's also see with something else that happened. I asked a question on the text last night, something to ponder. What does the resurrection mean for you or to you? And for some individuals in Jerusalem at that time, it meant a resurrection for them. A lot of people don't realize this, but in Matthew 27:52-53, it says,
the tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised.
Okay, now hold on. This happened when Jesus died on the cross. When that earthquake came, and when he died on the cross, it says that many tombs were opened, and the people were raised from the dead. Now listen what happened, though.
And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many.
That must have been crazy. I wonder who was actually appearing to these individuals. Was it people like David, or, you know, you would think it would probably be, you know, the elite, but maybe it was just
normal people
who are just blessed with
their beloveds,
the power
that they saw buried in the ground.
Right.
I mean, how much more proof did you need from that?
But it tells you that the moment that the cross was finished, resurrection power was released. Jesus did not receive it until that third day. But resurrection power was released the moment he died. You think about that. A lot of people say, "Oh, we receive resurrection." Yeah, we do. That was the finished work of the cross, is when he rose from the dead. But resurrection power was released right when he died.
Right.
Romans 10:9 says this.
Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
So one of the things that the resurrection does for us is it saves us. As we believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, not just that he died for my sins, but that he was raised from the dead, that he rose again, that he is no longer in a tomb somewhere. He's now sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, as the Bible says. We will be saved. Here's another one, Romans 6:4.
We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life.
So another thing that the resurrection does for us is it brings us a newness of life. We get to be someone different. Before I was saved, I was a certain type of temperament, certain type of individual, you know, kind of hard to get along with. You know, I had lots of bad days, let's put it that way. And Christ came in and gave me a new life, and I became a new person. Took time, you know, took a transformation period, but a lot of stuff just fell off right away. That's because he changed me from the inside out. I didn't go to some kind of class to learn how to act different. He changed me and transformed me because of his resurrection, that resurrection life.
And it wasn't any particularly special day or anything, meaning it wasn't, you didn't go to church on Christmas, or it wasn't Easter, you didn't change by going to church.
I didn't even
you
come
changed
to, I didn't,
by meeting Jesus.
I didn't go to an altar. I didn't pray a sinner's prayer. I was just a total anomaly. Someone told me about Jesus, and I started following him. Just like Matthew, you know, hey, Matthew, come follow me. And he followed him all the way until when he wrote one of the Gospels, you know. And that's kind of the way I was. And so, you know, did I get saved? Yeah, I got saved. I got saved by following him and believing in him.
So
it was
how
a process.
Many of you all believe that can happen?
It happened to me.
I mean, it can happen.
Some people say,
that's the way
not...
Jesus wants it to happen.
Yeah.
He doesn't need rituals. He doesn't need...
Lip service.
He doesn't need a sinner's prayer.
He wants our heart.
He just wants us. We're enough. And we have to recognize that we're enough. And when we don't feel like we're enough, we just have to remind ourselves that love came down and rescued you.
Yeah.
And set you free. Love did that. Not some rhetoric, not some ritual, not some 20-point prayer. Just Jesus.
Amen. Here's another one. Romans 8:11.
If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you.
And it does.
The Holy Spirit. Who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his spirit who dwells in you.
So this tells me why someone like Jesse can go into the doctor and his iron levels are so low that they go, how are you even standing? I mean, how are you even functioning? How'd you walk in here? And he goes, the grace of God. And that's because, yeah, he has an illness and he's believing that, you know, the Lord's going to touch him and heal him. But God knows what he needs, and he's giving him what he needs, even when his body is saying something different. You know, I think of Rowdy Ballard. Same thing was happening to him. He went in and his numbers, they said he should be dead. But he wasn't, because it wasn't his time. Mm-hmm. And so the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, which is God, mm-hmm. Holy Spirit is God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we believe in the Trinity, raised Jesus from the dead, will give life. And it actually says, will energize, make alive. It's a very powerful word, give life, but it's like a getting a jolt or a shock. That's like what Jesse received. And did you feel it? You didn't feel it. It was just happening in you. You were able to function. When the doctor said you shouldn't be able to function, you should be in bed, you know, And that is God. He gives life to our mortal bodies.
Well, that's why Leo was able to walk in here today.
Yep.
Leo is fighting an ailment, and it's a serious one, but by the power of God, he walked in here. I mean, it's all of us are that way in some way or another. We all have a testimony of God's power in us when maybe it's mental, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's physical, maybe it's something else. But when we let God reign in us, deep in us, we're able to do things that make no sense whatsoever.
Case in point, my surgery. I found out, I started doing some research about what they did. They took out 1 meter of my, one third, one third of my small intestine. You have only three thirds. And they're broken into, hey, it's math, you know. I went to school. And it's broken into three parts. And one starts with the D, one starts with M. And what they took out of me was called the ileum. And it is the most important part of your small intestine. Now, I've talked to people who have had 8 inches taken away, even a little bit over a foot. But I had 3 feet. I had all of my ileum taken out.
Feet.
Yep.
Yeah.
What normally happens when that happens, you have to go on medication. Because, you know, well, you know, and I've had some issues, you know. But I'm telling you, it seems like more and more, it's like my ileum is there, even though it's not. And he's given life to my mortal body.
Yeah.
I'm getting stronger and stronger, and, you know, I'm not going to be just believing I'm going to be like some kind of statistic, because he is a transformative God, and he's transforming my body into how it should be, as it is in heaven, even though it's had work done on it.
And there's a couple people that have gotten in contact with me that don't live in the area, that they've not seen him. They've not seen him at a work day. They've not seen him preaching. They've not seen him climbing the stairs back and forth. They've not seen him. And they knew what happened to him. And they're like, oh, is your husband back preaching yet? Husband back preaching yet? He's preaching the fourth week after it was. I mean, like, he's been there for quite a few months now. And someone asked me, oh, how's he doing? It, you know, I saw those terrible reports. And, you know, is he going to be okay? And I'm like, he already is okay. Like, you know, it's hard for people to understand unless they know the power of God that moves through us, that lives in us, that Amen. Resides here. We don't have to ask for it. It's ours. What's the scripture? What's the scripture that says that about you have all the fullness?
Oh, we have received the fullness of God. It's, well, it's in 1 John, and then it's in other places. I mean, John. Chapter 1. Yes.
Okay, yes. And so
of his fullness we have all received.
We have all received of his fullness, not of a portion, not a little bit, not a little for Myla and a little for Matt and a little for Joyce and a little for Herman. No, we've received his fullness. Each one of us has received his fullness. I love it.
Sorry. Amen.
I'm excited.
1 Peter 1:3. And it's the key one.
Preaching our sermon.
So we'll see. It's okay. I told her, take out my scriptures. Love it. So I'm going to go and read it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. That's that song we sang. Mm-hmm. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is the living hope. Because he was raised from the dead, there's other scriptures talking about, because he was raised from the dead, we also will be raised.
Right.
And it says here, to an inheritance that is imperishable, mm-hmm. undefiled, mm-hmm. unfading, kept in heaven for you. For you. It's no moth, no rust is going to take care of this, going to destroy this. This is going to always be there. It doesn't fade. The power of it will always be waiting for you. It's been kept and protected in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So Jesus' resurrection isn't just the fact that we get to celebrate that Jesus is no longer dead. Jesus' resurrection means that same resurrection power, that same resurrection life is in all of us. Mm-hmm. because he has poured out his Spirit upon all flesh. And we have received that same Spirit of Christ that raised him from the dead.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So does is anybody, when they were listening to this and then maybe pondering what question I had, is there someone that wanted to share what resurrection means for you or means to you? Anyone? No? Okay, Herman, come on up.
Okay, so resurrection for the church is a big day, right? We look forward to this one day as a church. But for the last few years, resurrection, for me, it could be daily. It could be monthly.
Amen.
Because what happens is we all fall short of God's glory, right?
Come on.
We can all do mistakes. And I often pray is, Lord, resurrect me from this happening to me. Resurrect this person that I'm seeing, for they not know what they're doing.
Amen.
We all need a resurrection constantly. It's not just... I mean, yes, it is for its purpose that God was raised from the dead. But again, it's also something we can pray for at any time. Amen. At any time.
Yes.
Bad habits, resurrect us from that. You know, anger, resurrect us from
Come
that.
Come on.
You know, and I shipwreck a lot. I confess that, you know. But still, it's I say it happens because God wants me to depend on him. You know, because again, if he gave us, answered our prayers like this, we wouldn't need of him anymore. We got everything. You know, so we need that constant resurrection Amen. For ourselves Amen. And for others.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, years ago I preached a message and kind of tweaked a few people, but it was Easter, just another day. And why I preached that is because what you just said, because resurrection to God is when another heart comes to Jesus. That's when that resurrection power is celebrated in heaven. We know that all the angels rejoice because one sinner came to the cross. One sinner came to what Jesus did for them. He's not ignoring us today, but I'm just saying it's more for us than it is for God, because we need to remember that resurrection power, like you said, is all the time, every day. Easter for us should be every day. We should celebrate the resurrection power of Christ. Yeah. Go ahead, Myla.
For me, the resurrection is that, you know, God is who he says he is, and he proves it by coming back to life, and he proves it by his resurrection power that's felt and seen by ourselves and others and those around us.
Amen.
So it's that God is God,
yep.
And there's really no way to question it, because he rose from the dead. Who else can say that their God or their person that they follow is alive and among us today?
Right. Living within us.
Yes.
Wow. That's good.
Anybody else?
He's alive.
Amen.
Yep. He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide.
He's
yep.
Alive. Yeah.
Amen. Okay. Well, Father, we are grateful, Lord, for you sending your one and only Son, Lord, the one, Lord, that you gave, Lord, to this world, Lord, to this cosmos, Lord, to this existence here now, Lord, so that we could be saved, Lord, when we believe in him, Lord, that we won't have to perish, Lord, but have an eternal, everlasting life. Mm-hmm. Lord, we thank you for that, God, that you gave your one and only Son. And Jesus, we thank you that you yielded and surrendered to the will of the Father in the garden, that you gave up your own desires, your own will, and you put them in the Father's hands. Because of that, you went to the cross for us, Lord. You died for us, Lord. You took all of our baggage upon yourself, Lord, all the world's baggage upon yourself, Lord, so that we could be made whole, so that we, when we look at you, Lord, will be healed, Lord, healed from our pain, healed from our sicknesses, healed from our broken hearts, healed from our wounds and scars of life. Lord, you are our transformative God. And Lord, we receive right now, Lord, the resurrection power.
Yes.
When you rose on that third day, Lord, you release the resurrection power, Lord, into your people, Lord, into the lives of your children, Lord. And we receive that now, afresh and anew, just as Herman said, Lord. Anything in our life that's been dragging us down, anything that's been weighing us, Lord, anything that's been keeping us from becoming who you've called us to be, Lord, right now we just release your resurrection power into our life. We receive it, and we decide and now are determined to walk in that newness of life that you have promised. Thank you, Jesus. We ask this in your mighty name. Amen. Well, blessings. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your day. And
happy Resurrection Day.
Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Gay has a women's group. If you're wanting to be part of that, get hold of us or come up here and we can get you
information.
And Wednesdays at 7, I have a men's group. And if you'd like to be part of that, just let us know. You can come up here and I'll give you that information. God bless you.
Love you. Have a blessed day, you guys. So happy to have Phyllis today.